I was praying this afternoon about tonight's service, and the Lord began to speak to me about the Bible. And it wasn't a whole lot, but it was deep, really. I mean, I just want to share this with you and then share with you some scriptures that he gave me along with this. Actually, he didn't really give them to me per se. He led me to them. It's not like he spoke these scriptures to me. But I want you to listen to this. I have laid out the basic principles of Christian living in my word. There is nothing outside my word that will get you to the place spiritually where I want you. And I began to think about that, how that, you know, that's true. If we're going to become what God wants us to become, the only way that can happen is if we pay attention to what He has said in His Word. Because in His Word, He outlines for us in detail what we need to do. And when we do that, well then the results are going to come. But it's what's in His Word that's going to work. It's nothing outside His Word. And I begin to think about how that in so many different churches, they'll tell you, well, you know, if you do this or you do that, then you'll become a better Christian or you'll grow in the Lord, or your faith will grow and so forth. And years ago, I believed a lot of those things because I hadn't paid close enough attention to the Word to find out. But then, you know, you get back into the Word and you find out that a lot of the things that many churches are telling you to do, that's just not here in the Word. So therefore, if I do those things, I'm doing good things. But they're not causing me to become what God wants me to become. And they're not having the spiritual impact on my life that He says needs to take place. Well, He went on. He said, in my word, you will also find the instructions on how to receive from me the specific details for your life and ministry. And I sat back and started thinking about that. I thought, how obviously true. We have, in the body of Christ over the centuries, we have taken discovering God's will for our personal lives and we put it into educational institutions. Now, I know that may sound strange coming from me. You know, God led me to start a Bible college. But the difference with our college is that we teach you how to get into God's Word and how to apply what He shows so that you can find out what God's called you to do. In other words, we show you from the Word of God what He has said. Then we just lay it on your shoulders and it's up to you now. You know, if you do this, you're going to get the results. And that's a very different approach from what really every other Bible college I've ever encountered will do for you. And I'm not trying to be mean toward the people in these other colleges, but what I'm saying is it's been made more academic than spiritual. And if you get a lot of education and learning, well then, you know, you're going to become more aware of what God wants you to do, your ministry calling and so forth. Well, no, that's impossible. It can't be academic. It's spiritual first. And really, the depth of the academics should be coming from God's Word. A lot of people believe that, you know, and you have to learn all these different things about, you know, the Jewish history and Greek history and so forth. And, you know, before you can become good at whatever. But that's not true. And you don't even see that in the Word of God. You just see God continuing to point us back to His Word from His Word. Well, He went on and He said, my word is a roadmap into my glory. My word is a roadmap into my glory. And I began to think about that. And in my mind, I'm thinking from the perspective of what God has said in His word. And I'm thinking, you know, that's true. Because if I want to find out how to get into the glory of God and experience the glory of God and so on, well, in His word, He tells me what I need to do. Think of it like this. Very simple. God inhabits our praises. Well, if He inhabits our praises, then His glory inhabits our praises. Therefore, this is an instruction on how to enter into His glory. This is a part of that roadmap. So if I take the highway of praise, then I will praise myself into his glory. You understand what I mean? Well, he continued, and he said, boy, listen to this one. My word is the supernatural crossing over into the natural manifested in written form. Now let me read that again. My word is the supernatural crossing over into the natural manifested in written form. All too often we look at the Bible as just another book. And we do that sometimes without meaning to. But when you think about the point of origin of Scripture, God tells us all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Therefore, since God is supernatural, and the point of origin for Scripture is God, that means His Word is supernatural, manifested in the natural in written form. I don't know, but that had an impact on me. Because that means that this book that I'm holding in my hands is literally the supernatural manifested before my very eyes. I want to have a supernatural experience with God. Dude, you've got it in your hands right now. It's there. This is the supernatural manifested in the natural in written form. Now in another place it talks about in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That means that Jesus, the Word of God, that was the supernatural manifested in the natural in flesh. Well, right here, we have the supernatural. Now if this is supernatural, which it obviously is, then don't you think that involvement with it is going to have some kind of supernatural impact and effect on our lives? How can it not? Well, let me read what else he said here. He said, my word conditions your spirit to hear my voice. My word conditions your spirit to hear my voice. Now, in my mind, I don't know why my imagination works the way it does. I don't have a clue. But how many of you have heard the stories about the Eskimos, and they'll take animal skin and they'll chew it to soften it to make it pliable? Please somebody tell me you've heard this. Okay, well, somebody that used to live in Alaska, she bears witness, all right? So don't you argue with us. But they would, now we're not talking they still do that. I mean, they may if they live way out. But to make like leather clothing and so forth and the things they made out of leather, they would, you know, chew the hides to soften them and make them pliable so they could cut and sew and so on and so forth. Okay, with that in mind, that's the imagery. My word conditions your spirit to hear my voice. His word chews on my spirit. Okay, now it doesn't do that literally. It's imagery. It conditions my spirit to be more conducive and pliable in His hands, but it conditions my spirit to hear His voice. Because if all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, that means God spoke it forth, the supernatural manifested in the natural in written form. So therefore, this is a revelation of what God has said. And because it is supernatural, I mean, I could look in here and see the word it. That is a supernatural it. I can see the word of. That's a supernatural of. Now that may sound silly to you, but because of its point of origin, that makes it supernatural. So every word in here is supernatural, or it is a container of the supernatural. I'm not trying to get out there in left field. What I'm trying to do is impress upon you the magnitude of what this word is to us. It's not just something you're supposed to study to impress your Sunday school teacher. I can remember when I was growing up in church, on our envelopes, we had these little boxes that we were supposed to check. And you got so many points for every box you could check. And you got so many points if you brought your Bible with you to church. But then you also got so many points if you read your Bible. Well, what I would do on Saturday night, you know, I'd, you know, read a couple of verses so I could check that box the next day. Well, the intent was, are you reading it through the week? All right. So I wasn't exactly honest. Technicality. Yes, I did read it. Maybe not the way you think I should, but I did read something. This is supernatural. It conditions my spirit to hear the voice of God. Now, in this, it was like God began to minister to me and say, throughout my word, I have given you hints as to what my word will do in your life. And I would like it if you would pick up on these hints and understand that reading my word is not just because somebody told you you need to. Reading his word is an encounter with the supernatural. Because you wouldn't have this word if it weren't for God. Now open to Joshua chapter 1, and I want to start showing you some things. And as he began, as I began going through scripture, looking at some of these things, all of a sudden, I sat back and I realized, my goodness, this is overwhelming. Because the more I found, the more I realized there was more to find. In other words, all throughout the Word, he's telling us what the Word will do for us. And it's a supernatural revelation of what a supernatural manifestation will do supernaturally in our lives. Now look here in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Well, why should I do that? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So what is he saying? He's saying, if you want your life to change for the better, meditate in my word. Now, someone could come along and say, well, yeah, okay, but, you know, that's Old Testament. That's under the law. In fact, he even says right there, this book of the law. And, you know, we're dead to the law through the body of Christ and so on and so forth. So I'm just not so sure that, you know, that verse applies. Okay. I understand what you're saying where it says the book of the law. But I want to ask you something. If the law, if meditating on the law could do this much for lost people, what do you think meditating on the Word of God can do for us today? This principle is still the same. And I want to show you the New Testament parallel. It's not word for word, but it is the exact same message. Because some people would say, well, you know, but we're not under the law, we're under grace. All right? Turn over to Acts chapter 20. And remember what we just read back over there in Joshua chapter 1. Here in Acts chapter 20, look in verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. You see that? That's the exact same message. The words are different, but God is saying the same thing. If meditating back then would cause me to, you know, be prosperous and have good success and so forth, and if meditating today causes me to receive the manifestation of my inheritance, we're basically talking about the same thing. So therefore, the principle revealed in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 is still working today. We're just not under the law. So if I meditate in the book of grace or his word of grace, as he says here, then I'm going to get really better results than what he was talking about back there in Joshua 1:8, because my covenant is based upon better promises. So I can go beyond everything that was promised. in Joshua chapter 1, 8 to the lost people, I can go beyond that because now I am a recipient of salvation. So if I continue to stay in His Word, see, look, if all you do is read it and you do not understand the historical aspects about it, if all you do is read it, you are experiencing something supernatural. All you have to do is read it. Because it is supernatural. And simply reading it begins conditioning your mind, your spirit, to hear the voice of God. Simply reading it is introducing the supernatural of God into your life. Now look at another place. Turn back over to Psalm chapter 1. And I want to show you something else that God has said relative to His Word. Psalm chapter 1, and just pick this up here in verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Can you see how this is very, very similar to Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 and what we just read back over there in Acts 20 verse 32? And so he says, look, don't pay attention to the wrong stuff, verse 1, but focus on my word, meditate on my word, and your life is going to become a blessing. You're going to walk in blessings. And he describes this in natural terms in verse 3. But now I want to show you a New Testament parallel to this. The message, again, is exactly the same, but the words are different. Turn over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And this is like the expanded version of what we just read back over there in Psalms. And again, the words are different, but the message is the same, and this goes into more detail, if you will. 1 Timothy chapter 4, begin in verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things. Now stop right there. What things? Well, the things that Paul has taught. And just the word of God that Paul has delivered. If you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Remember what he said in verse 1 over there in Psalm? You know, don't stand in the counsel of the scornful and the ungodly and so forth. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Now basically what he's doing is live the word that you meditate. Verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Can you see how that essentially this message is the same that we just saw over there in Psalm chapter 1? He's saying, look, get into the Word, stay into the Word, live the Word, stay away from all that other stuff, the fables and so on and so forth, and your benefit is going to be known to all people. They're going to see the results of this meditation. Now look over in Jeremiah chapter 29. And again, what we're talking about is what, I could say like this, the hints or instructions that God has given to us in His Word relative to our change, our growth, our spiritual development, our becoming everything that He wants us to become. In Jeremiah chapter 29, look here in verse 13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. There it is. People say, well, I just wish I could find God. God says, not a problem. You shall seek me and you shall find me when you search for me with all your heart. Oh, but I just want to have an encounter with God. God says, not a problem. Search for me with all your heart. You're going to find me. Here's this little nugget right in the middle of this chapter, in the middle of this book. It's God dropping this hint. He says, listen up. Seek me with everything that's in you and you'll find me. And somebody can say, well, yes, but, you know, again, Brother Martin, that's Old Testament. You know, we're not under the law. We're under grace. Listen, guys, not under the law, but under grace does not mean that the Old Testament is useless. Come on. And do you really believe that now that we're not under the law, we're under grace, that God changed his mind about seeking him and finding him? I don't think so. This is a standard for all time. So therefore, God is saying, here's a path into my glory. Here's a way to find out more about me, more about you. Because you get into my presence, and I'll be able to tell you more about you. Get into my word and let it condition your spirit so that you can hear my voice. So if you seek me, you're going to find me when you search for me with all your heart. It's right there in the word. It can't not happen. Let me show you another one. Turn over to Psalm chapter 119. Now see, what you can do is go through scripture, and as you go through the word of God, you're going to be able to, every time you see something about what he says his word will do, that's God dropping another nugget into your lap, telling you, this is what my word will do. This is what a supernatural encounter will do for you. Now, if you do this, it's going to happen. If you do this, here's the benefit for you. Every time you see, you know, where somebody has written, this is what your word is for me. This is what your word has done for me. It's God speaking forth and saying, I'm giving you another revelation of the power of my word. Another revelation of what happens when you spend time encountering the supernatural. Well, here in Psalm chapter 119, look in verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. See that? I just wish I could quit sinning. God says, not a problem. Hide my word in your heart. I just wish, not a problem. Hide my word. So, well, how do I hide it? Well, just start reading. I mean, just start feeding it in. Just start depositing it in. It's not going to get in there if you don't do something to put it in, okay? I mean, it's not like some angel's going to come along and, you know, grab your mouth and open it up and just, you know, shove it down in there. It's not going to happen. And it's not like, you know, you can take your Bible and hold it up against your chest and hope it soaks in somehow. It's not going to work. But when you put it in, he says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. What does that tell us? It tells me that the more of his word I put in me, what I am doing is conditioning myself to say no to sin. Now let me show you the New Testament parallel to the... Keep your finger here in Psalms, because we will come back to Psalms in just a few moments. Turn over to Romans. And I won't go through this whole chapter. I'll just point out a couple of verses here. In Romans chapter 2, verse 14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, or the law was never given to the Gentiles, they didn't know the Ten Commandments from anything else. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves. Now look here. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. In other words, when I start thinking about sin, because I have his law, his word, his scripture, you know, hidden in my heart, then the power of the life of that word, that supernatural word that's on the inside of me, begins to speak up and say, don't you even be thinking about that, let alone do it. Because what you're thinking about doing is sin. Now don't do this. Well, that's the New Testament parallel of what he said back over there in Psalms, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now turn back over to Psalms chapter 119. And look in verse 98. Thou, through thy commandments, and think word, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Well, two things are with you. I mean, for the sake of this teaching. Number one, the enemies are always going to be there. Satan hates you. Number two, if you hide the word in your heart, the word will always be with you. See what I'm saying? But notice what he says. Part of the result, or one of the results, of continually feasting on his word is that it makes you wiser than your enemies. The Bible says in the New Testament, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. Therefore, the Word of God has the power to cause me, to be smarter than the devil. Now, I am anyway, and I know that. I mean, you got to be pretty stupid to be in the very presence and glory of God and rebel. You know what I'm saying? But it says right here, your Word makes me wiser than mine enemies. So the more I get into His Word, the more I'm going to be sensitive to the attacks of the enemy. Now, look in another place. And keep your finger in 119, Psalm 119, we'll come back to it. But turn over to Psalm 19. I want to show you a little variation on this theme, what we just read here. Psalm chapter 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. Just think in terms of God's Word. The law of the Lord, or God's Word, is perfect, converting the soul. And this phrase, converting the soul, think in terms of be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So in other words, if you sit around and you say, well, I just have no clue, God says, well, hey, get into my word, because my word will give you a clue. It will de-simple you. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. Now look here, enlightening the eyes. In other words, it's going to give you spiritual insight. God's going to, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Remember what God said over there in the New Testament. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, my words, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. So the more that I get into His Word, the more that I'm feasting on it, the more that I'm putting His Word in, it causes me to be very spiritually sensitive to those things of the enemy which are contradicting the things of God in my life. And because Satan is very subtle, if I'm not, I'll say it like this, if I'm not on the razor's edge, then I could be led astray. If I'm getting into His Word, then His Word begins to create a path of instruction in my life, in my spirit. Let me just show you another place here. Turn back over to 119. And look in 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. What's he saying? He's saying, well, in another place in Scripture it says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. So the more of his word I put in, the more of his precepts, then it's through them that I begin to get understanding. Now in the New Testament it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Well, I've said this so many times, the only way that it's profitable for doctrine to me is if I have the capacity to understand all Scripture. Well, one way to help me understand all Scripture is to start putting all Scripture in me. Because he says right here, through thy precepts, through thy words, I get understanding. Not I hope to have it. I get it. You know how some people say, I just don't get it. Well, put His word in. You'll get it. He says, through your words, as I put your words in me, I get understanding. In other words, I don't have to work for it. I don't have to labor for it. All I have to do is just, you know, keep pouring His word. And now listen, guys, you need to understand. I'm dealing with myself on this one. Because in the process here, I'm starting to realize how much word is lacking in my own life. Because as I'm seeing this, it's like, well, yeah, I could use more of this understanding stuff for myself. Let alone anybody else, I could use this. Well, He says, through my precepts, you're going to get it. You'll get this understanding. The understanding of what? Everything you need to understand. Everything. His word begins to bring about the change. Look at another place. Psalm 119. Well, look in verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The more of His word that I put in me, that supernatural work begins to produce in me an understanding of the direction that I should go. I begin to, the light begins to shine on my path, if you understand the analogy there. I begin to know what I'm supposed to do. You know, it's almost like God is saying, there are a lot of my children that are living their lives acting like they have no clue and no hope. But time and time again in my word, I've given you revelation of what my word will do for you. It will work a supernatural work. But I don't know how I'm going to get this understanding. He said, just get into my word. It'll begin to happen. Just get into my word because I've said, look, God said my word goes forth out of my mouth. It won't return void. It will accomplish everything I've sent it forth to accomplish. That means if He says that the entrance of His word gives me understanding, the entrance of His word is going to give me understanding. If He says that the power of His word will help me understand the direction that I'm supposed to go, that means the more I get into His word, even though my name is not in here, the power, the supernatural power of His word will begin to bring about that transformation. And I'll begin to come to the place of understanding more clearly what it is He wants me to do. Look over in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And just look here in verse 12. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now what this is telling us is that the more I get into His word, just read it, but the more I put it in me, He's saying, here's another aspect of my word for your life. It will act like a two-edged sword. And in the process of acting like a two-edged sword, once it's in there, it will begin to cut away those things which are contradictory to who you are in me. My word is truth. Therefore, as my word begins to cut away, you're going to become very aware of these things that you don't need to hold on to, that you don't need to believe, that you don't need to accept. And the only thing that's going to be left will be my word. Because if the word going in is cutting away, then what it cuts away is going to fall away. You see this? So here again, God is saying, here's what my word will do for you. Here's another nugget. Here's another something that you need to pay attention to. Because I am telling you what my word will do in your life. Now, I want you to turn over to one last place. Like I said, you know, you go from Genesis to Revelation, and over again, you see some kind of reference to the Word of God and what it will do. That is God telling us. This is what my word will do for you. So many times we read through here and we see these things, and it's almost like it's poetic. It's like, well, yeah, that's really neat. Boy, the Word of God, amen. And God is saying, no, wait a second, hold on here. You don't understand. What I'm doing is telling you what my word will do for you in your life. Now look over in Proverbs chapter 30. And actually this message is really more to try to, I guess you could say, whet your appetite and even your curiosity to start going through Scripture to find out, well, what has God said about His Word? What has He said? And then now, hopefully from now on, whenever you read Scripture and you see something in there where He says, your word was unto me, or thy word did, or the word of the Lord went forth and, I mean, just all these different things. It's like, okay, here's another aspect of what God's word will do in my own life. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Now look at this. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. You say, well, what? I don't understand. What He's saying is His word stands on its own. It doesn't need any help. In other words, if somebody stands up and just says it like this, yes, we know that the Word of God says such and such and thus, however, today we understand things differently. And we know that such things are not the same as what they... And God's up in heaven, He's getting ready to reprove. And the day's coming, you're going to be found to be a liar. Because it says every word of God is pure. It's not corrupted. If I add to it, I'm corrupting it. You know, you buy a cake mix, a chocolate cake mix, or better yet, a brownie mix. And that brownie mix is a dark brown powder. Now you do realize that it is possible to go out and find dirt that's about the same color as that brownie mix. And that you can bring that dirt in and scoop out some of the brownie mix and add the dirt to it, along with the eggs and the butter and whatever else you do, and mix it all together, and put it in the oven, bake it. Now, how good is that going to taste? And don't anybody get any ideas. You're corrupting it. Oh, the box still says brownie mix. They still look like brownies, and you still put, you know, powdered white sugar on top and all this other. But you've corrupted it. And if you hand it to somebody and say, here, I baked some brownies for you. Don't give them to me now. I get some. And they take a bite and they say, what is this? It kind of tastes like a brownie, but it kind of, I don't know, like dirt or something like that. And you just say, well, it is. You see, things have changed over the years. You told me this was a brownie. Well, it is a brownie. But it's a brownie the way we understand it. And you're just going to look at him and say, well, you're crazy. You told me this was a brownie. This is not a brownie. You lied to me. This is part brownie, part dirt. You can't eat this. Watch, the same thing that God's saying in here. Don't add to my word. Adding to it would be telling people that we have more information. Oh, I know it's not contained in there. I know nowhere in the Bible do you find that these things don't work anymore. But we say they don't work anymore. So you're adding to the Bible to discredit the Bible. And God is saying, my word is pure. Don't add to it. Because the day is going to come, I'll reprove you. And not only that, but you're going to be found to be a liar. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't like that idea of God looking at me and calling me a liar. I would think He'd be pretty upset right about then. So it's in my best interest to get into the Word of God and just stick to it. You know what I'm saying? What it says, just stick to it. And again, I'm sharing this whole message tonight. It was me sharing with you what God shared with me about every time in the Bible where you see something about, and God's word did, and your word is unto me, and the word of the Lord was, and it, and so forth. That is God telling us what His word will do for us in our lives. His word is pure. It cannot change. It will not change. And it will accomplish all of those things. But we have to put it in before it can do any of it. So I want you to be encouraged tonight. You may read through Scripture and there may be things you read and you think, man, I just do not understand this. And God says, you know what? It's not so much about you having to understand everything right now, but at least start putting it in and give me something to work with. And the more you put in, the more you're going to come to understand later on. Praise God.